Good morning, and welcome to our podcast, Holistic Health 2.0. I'm Dr. Richard Lucente, and I'm here with Dr. Robert Dugo. Good morning, Rob.
Good morning.
And this is our second podcast, and the topic is going to be about vegan diets. And we're going to talk about whether or not vegan diets are healthy and what modifications could be made and the types of vegan diets and whether or not this is the way you should be eating or is it a bunch of hype. And or is this a fad thing? And we're going to get through some of the different types of ways of looking at vegan diets, the importance of knowing what types of vegetables you should and shouldn't eat. And we're going to talk about lectins. We're going to have a fun conversation about a lot of different things. So let's get into it. So vegetarianism has been around for a long time, as you know, and however, it's come into more popular fame of people being vegan, and I've seen a lot of people that come to me and they say they want to follow a vegan diet. So, Rob, why don't you talk to us a little bit about what are the different types of vegan diets or vegetarian diets?
Okay. So I guess you could be a vegetarian, which doesn't allow you or allows you to eat fish, correct?
Yeah,
fish and eggs, right?
If you want to, yeah. If you're truly vegan, then you don't eat any animal products whatsoever.
So it starts with vegetarian,
right?
Then it goes to vegan,
right?
Then it goes to plant based,
right?
And then it goes to whole foods plant based.
Yes, exactly. So the thing is, a lot of people who say they're vegan, right? So now, if you're just a vegan and you're not eating fish and you're not eating eggs, you're not eating dairy, but you're still eating a lot of grains, right? So, and what we've seen in our practice and what I've studied extensively over the years is that grains really are not good for you. So, unfortunately, a lot of people who follow a vegan diet or even a vegetarian diet, they're substituting the meat for more carbs, right? Mm-hmm. And more pasta and more rice and all of these types of things. So that's where you get into the different types of diets.
When you say grains,
right,
what exactly do you mean?
Okay. So grains are like are bread products, pasta products, rice, those types of things. Quinoa is a seed, but it's still, you know, things that are right there that are that have to be pulverized and made into flour, right, to eat.
Now, what about whole grains?
Right. So whole grains is something that was created by the nutrition industry or the food industry, rather. So whole grains are not necessarily any healthier because we're not really meant to eat certain grains. Like, these are all man-made things, mm-hmm. right? If you took a caveman, right, or men thousands of years ago, they wouldn't go and eat a wheat plant, right? They wouldn't eat that.
Right.
It's not edible.
You have to do something
right,
to it.
Process it. Right. So that's why our body really has no use for it. It just spikes blood sugar, even whole grains. And there are things in grains, which we're going to get into, called lectins, that are actually proteins that are poisons that plant produces so that animals don't eat them. And so we get around that and we eat it anyway because we find a way to make it edible. But the lectins are still there and they're causing us to get sick. And so we're going to get into that. But what I wanted to start with was a story about Rob's dad, who's also a chiropractor, and he had some heart issues, congestive heart failure, coronary artery disease, and he decided to switch to a plant-based diet. So let's talk about what his experience was.
So he was whole foods plant-based, right?
Right.
Because there's vegan, there's plant-based, and then whole foods plant-based. Which made him miserable, right? Because he's a typical Italian, likes the sausage, likes the salami, likes the cheeses, loves all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, no oil, right?
Right.
So you say, well, oh my God, how am I going to saute my broccoli rabe?
Right.
And we've noticed is that when you steam these things,
right,
when you steam these vegetables, the taste is better.
Right.
You don't need that oil. It's mm-hmm. it's crazy.
Right.
You actually taste what it's meant to taste like, and I find it. I think it tastes better.
Right.
I think it tastes 100 times better. But yeah. So he went on this diet, eliminated most of meat and fish and all that nonsense. But I would say about 5%, maybe, like I said, you know, has a bite of chicken the size of a quarter, just to kind of get that
right.
bite.
Mm-hmm.
And lost close to 60 pounds.
Wow.
You know, so his heart doesn't have to pump as harder, more vigorously,
right,
to get the blood flowing, you know. So, I mean,
decrease
in blood pressure. He's at the gym an hour a day.
Right.
You know, which they kind of told him, like, I don't know what this condition, I don't know if you're going to be able to do that again.
Right.
And, you know, he just keeps defying the odds, I guess, you know, and just kind of just being our little miracle, you know?
No, and it goes to prove that what we say here is that food is medicine. Food is not only medicine, food is actually the best medicine. And when you change your diet, you change your health. So,
talk about the gut-brain connection.
Right, yeah. So let's get into that. Yeah. So it's very interesting because it seems that all the research now is on the gut microbiome. So much research going on the gut microbiome, how it affects our health. A lot of it's in Stanford, Cleveland Clinic under Dr. Mark Hyman. And they're looking at even the elite cardiologists over there and GI specialists are looking at the gut microbiome and seeing how it's affecting people's health. And it's incredible because we knew about a gut-brain connection. We knew about the vagus nerve and how it sends signals from the brain to the gut. But the vagus nerve, actually, there's one nerve connection within the vagus nerve that connects the brain to the gut, sending messages from the brain to the gut. So that comes with the experience, like, oh, I have a nervous stomach, right? When you're anxious and you feel that thing in your stomach where you kind of feel, you know, exactly, butterflies, right? But then there's actually seven, for every one fiber, there's seven fibers that communicate from the gut to the brain. So the gut is really this, as you have said before, is the second brain, and it may even be the first brain. We have actually more microbial DNA in our body and more cells, bacteria, than we have cells in our body. So we have more bacterial DNA than we have human DNA, and more bacterial number of bacteria than we have cells in our body. So the microbiome is actually controlling your cravings, controlling your food, what you want to eat. And I've noticed this because we recently launched our 2-week challenge where we're challenging people to eat this way, which consists of, and it's something that I've researched for years, on how what's the really right way to eat. And I believe that it's truly a whole food plant-based diet where most of your foods are from plants, and then you can eat some meats and some fish and some good carbs. But you know, Rob, you've been eating organic, you know, for a long time, and you know, it makes a huge difference. But this 2-week challenge is to really have people eat this way for 2 weeks, eat a, you know, minimal amount of calories, mostly coming from plants and whole foods, and their sleep is improving, they're more energy, they're losing weight, their sex drive is improved, their autoimmune diseases are starting to go away, their high blood pressure is gone. This is in 2 weeks.
The anxiety. Right. Anxiety is
exactly, anxiety disorder. So immune system function is improving. So we're challenging people to do this. I've been doing it actually 3 weeks, and I feel amazing. Dropped 10 pounds, and I wasn't really overweight, but my body is shaping up. I feel more energy. So talk a little bit about, you know, the importance of eating organic and you know, what is the difference between eating organic and what is a GMO? Tell us all about
that.
Yeah,
there's organic, there's non-GMO, and then there's pretty much conventional.
Right.
I like to look for stuff that's organic and non-GMO.
Right.
Right? Conventional will contain, most likely, almost all of them will contain pesticides.
Right.
And like we spoke off air a little bit, we were talking about glyphosate.
Right.
That's the ingredient in Roundup, which
right,
is a weed killer.
Right.
And we were talking about this again before, where glyphosate is labeled or patented as an antibiotic.
Yes.
Right? So if you're eating healthy or quote-unquote healthy conventional foods and it's sprayed with glyphosate,
right,
you're going to kill the good bacteria by eating good food, or what you thought was good food.
Right.
So you need 100% to pretty much be as close to 100% of organic as you possibly can. You know, I don't think people understand the dangers of GMOs. And what exactly is a GMO?
Right. So tell us, what's a GMO? Okay. So for people out there that are listening and don't know what a GMO is, they just may know it's genetically modified. But
what does genetically modified mean, right?
What is it genetically modified?
So GMO stands for genetically modified organisms. And basically, we'll take the example of a strawberry. So the number one killer of a strawberry patch is frost. Okay?
Okay.
So what they do is they take the DNA of an Arctic fish who's able to withstand freezing cold temperatures, right? If you think about it, it's the idea of it is brilliant,
right?
And you almost don't blame them, right? Almost like I think these scientists were overthinking it a little bit, you know? And these guys were brilliant. So they said, hey, listen, if we can get the DNA of an Arctic fish, somehow take that DNA, put it into the strawberry seed, plant it, let it grow. First frost comes around, it's able to withstand the cold. Right. So now you can keep that crop longer. Now that you say, wow, that's amazing, right? Wow, we can have strawberries all year long. Sounds good.
Right.
But in reality, you know, that seed now is a patent. And you can't patent food.
Right.
Food is not patent. You can't patent food.
Right.
So they label it as food-like. What the heck does food like mean?
Exactly. And then the other big part of the GMOs is that's one of the safer modifications.
Right.
Talk about
the other
what
one.
the main.
Well, this is where it gets bad.
Right.
This is where it gets bad. So basically, if you were to take, you know, Roundup or pesticide and spray it to, let's say, wheat, right? It would die.
Yes.
Right? So in order for it to have resistance to animals and insects eating it, what they do is they take Roundup, they take that glyphosate, put it into the seed of the wheat.
Right.
Now when this crop is able to grow, you could spray it over
and
over.
It doesn't die.
And it doesn't die. It doesn't die from the glyphosate. Yeah. So that's scary. That's scary. So now it's not only sprayed on it, it's inside of it. So what does that mean for our gut biome?
Right. So like you said before, it's an antibiotic, and it kills our microbiome, which therefore kills our immune system. It kills our vitamin and mineral absorption. It kills our GI motility. It affects our hearts and our blood pressure. And when the gut's not functioning right and we're constantly, you know, feeding it with antibiotics and we're not eating the right foods, then, you know, we're killing ourselves, because if you kill your microbiome, you're hurting yourself. So you can do the, you know, one, you know, eating organic can get expensive, and you could look at the Dirty Dozen and the Clean 15, which we've spoken about, where that's an app, and you can look at the foods that are most heavily sprayed and kind of stick to those as far as buying organic. Like certain things like bananas, for example, aren't heavily sprayed and they have a thick coat and you don't eat the skin. So it's on the Clean 15. So that's one thing. But
you
spend money on other things. Why not spend an extra dollar on broccoli?
That's what I'm talking. You know, you say, oh, it's more expensive. Well, then get a different car.
Right.
You know, do something different. Don't go out to eat one out of the 4 weekends.
Right.
If you can't, if that's, you know, a concern for you, if the finances aren't there, then, you know, make the change, make the difference, because either you're going to pay now. Right, you're going to pay now and spend the money on organic, or you're definitely going to pay later. And if you ask my opinion, you don't want to go through, you know, an autoimmune disease or some other debilitating disease like I've seen with my father.
Right.
So I would rather have known this information and maybe known more about a vegan diet, you know, before all this happened. You know,
right.
And this what our mission is, to kind of, you know, prevent these things so that people don't have to go through what I experienced as well. And I don't wish that on anybody. I mean, that's probably one of the scariest things that I've ever encountered, with seeing, you know, someone sick that you love.
Right. Yeah. And we see people come in here and they're sick and they're tired and they have no energy and they're on a ton of medications, and it can change. Food is medicine, and we can change it. So now we're going to get into really the meat, and like, how should we be eating? So now we've established that a plant-based diet is the way to go. But we're going to talk about some strategies now.
Now or after the break?
Yeah, we're going to take a little break right now. And we're going to talk about, when we come back, about the different diets that you can follow of a plant-based whole food diet. So if you like our podcast, we're going to do a little spot on the company that we do our podcast through. Okay, so we're going to get back into talking about the what's the proper way to eat, right? Like, so now we've established, and it, now this is all based on, this is not based on just opinion. This is based on science and the studies that are coming out of the different universities and the different functional medicine practices throughout the United States and all the literature that's coming out on how we should eat healthy, and also based on what our patient experiences have been. And so I personally follow a plant-based whole food diet, which means I don't eat processed foods, but I still, and I eat mostly plants. So if you look at how hunting populations eat, right? So when they're out for a hunt, they're eating, you know, plants and some berries and a little bit of fruit just to stay kind of alive and just to survive. And then if they kill an animal, right, they'll eat that animal and it'll serve for their food for a few days, right? And then they'll be searching again and going back to a plant-based diet. So that's kind of the thing that you should base your diet off of. So mostly plants and organic, coming from whole foods. We're going to discuss lectins probably on another podcast, but lectins are a protein that plants produce and to avoid being eaten. And a lot of the foods we eat contain lectins, which are very inflammatory molecules, and gluten is actually a lectin. And so if you're gluten-free, you're avoiding one lectin, but there's a lot of other lectins that we need to avoid, and that makes a huge difference. But in general, the lectin is a coating on a plant or a seed that produces a chemical or protein that causes damage, and it doesn't make it digestible or edible to us. So we want to avoid those lectins in our foods. And so you want to eat mostly plant-based, and then you want to throw in some fish, and you want to, the smaller fish are always the best. The absolute best are sardines and anchovies because they're tiny. They have protein, good fats, rich in omega-3s, and you want to avoid like tuna and commercially fished big fish that are high in mercury. But if you get them from Nordic areas, then those are okay too. But you could eat some fish. You could eat grass-fed meat, grass-fed, grass-finished meat, and you can also eat some starches. So let's talk a little bit about resistant starches. So resistant starches are starches that are resistant to breakdown from the gut acid, stomach acid, and they are the best food for our microbiome. So things like green vegetables are resistant starches, but other things like sweet potatoes and basmati rice are also great starches. And then you should eat these things based on your level of activity.
Even white rice.
Yes, white rice, because the brown rice has the lectin, it has the hull in it. So the white rice, they take the hull out, and so the hull contains the lectin. And the other, but you can eat brown rice, but you need to pressure cook it in an Instapot or something like that to get rid of the lectins. But in, you know, those are good starches. Those are good starches. Plantains or unripened bananas are also very good to eat as far as resistant starches. So you can eat starches, but you have to prepare them the right way, and you have to eat them when you're more active. So if you're working out and, you know, you went to the gym, you need to eat a little more protein. So that's when you want to eat maybe that grass-fed steak or the free-range chicken. You know, that's when you want to, you know, have the sweet potato or the rice.
You can get the
but if you're sitting at a desk job and, you know, you're not active, you really don't need a lot of calories. And it seems that the only thing that really promotes longevity is fasting. So you need to eat as, you know, vegetables mostly, and don't eat for as many hours as you can. So intermittent fasting, right, Rob? We've talked about this before.
Yeah.
You know, you eat for 8 hours, you have 8 hour feeding time, and then you have 16 hours of fasting, and you can extend that, or you may do only be able to do 14, but whatever you can do, you do. So, you know, talk about what you were saying earlier about the different types of vegetarian like options. Like you had a chart, I think, that you were looking at that said,
like, what's the difference?
What's the actual difference? Like, what are If you're a vegetarian, what are you eating, like, as far as processed foods and things like that?
Right. And I think that's where people who are vegetarian and are vegan maybe aren't – you know, a lot of people say, well, vegans and vegetarians aren't healthy, right? They feel good at first, and then is it really sustainable to eat like that, right? I mean,
right.
You know,
exactly.
Are they getting enough B12? Right. Are they getting enough protein, you know, and people don't realize that you can get protein from
plants,
from beans.
Look at the gorilla, right? The gorillas eat nothing but plants and fruit, and they definitely have
a lot of strength,
a lot of muscle. And look at horses. What's more muscular than a horse? A horse does not eat any meat, right? So you can get proteins, adequate amounts of proteins from plants. Now, I like to use hemp protein. If you work out and you want to, you know, just up your protein intake a little bit, I like to use a hemp-based protein, which is really, really good for you. It's rich in cannabinoids, which are great for your brain.
Oh, that's another topic.
We're going to have definitely a talk on CBD.
CBD, yeah.
But, you know, this is the way that you were meant to eat. You're only as healthy as your gut bacteria. And what your good bacteria eats are vegetables and resistant starches, like we talked about, and whole foods, right? It doesn't like processed foods. So when you eat processed foods, you're feeding the bad stuff. When you're eating vegetables and whole foods, you're feeding the good stuff.
And you won't get sick as much.
Right.
If the good bacteria is there, any kind of invader coming in, you're not going to get sick.
Right, exactly.
You know, you'll definitely, so everyone around you might have the flu, you might have a sniffle for a day or so.
Exactly. So that's
super important. Well, let me show you. I got this here, the plant-based versus vegan. So whole food plant-based diet will include beans, fruits and vegetables, and starchy vegetables. And over here they say whole grains. Now we're talking about whole grains. But I guess grains with bread, pastas, rice and all that, all that good stuff. And then what plant-based adds is highly processed foods, including refined sweeteners, bleached flours, and rice as well. They have this as white rice being highly processed, but again, we were just talking about that. And that's where it just gets super confusing. And then the vegan diet will add oil.
Right.
Right. And now, you know, we talk about oil, and you could probably get a lot of your good fat from certain oils.
Right. Olive oil is great, extra virgin olive oil. And there's a lot of studies. Dr. Gundry's been doing a lot of studies on oil. And here's Dr. Gundry's philosophy. He feels that food is just a means to get olive oil in your – it should be a means to get olive oil into your body.
So he believes the oils are good. Now –
certain oils, coconut oil is good in moderation, but you have to. So you can't eat low fat and low carb, right? So if you're eating low fat and low carb, your body has no energy source because protein is a very poor energy source. So the thing is if olive oil, if you're eating a lot of carbs, is a bad thing because you have a lot of carbs, which is your primary energy source. Your body's going to use the glucose first, and then you're eating olive oil, so all that fat's going to get stored. But if you're following a plant-based diet and you're eating mostly plants, which are very minimal amounts of carbs, and they are carbs, but there are minimal amounts of carbs,
But you see how confusing this gets?
Right.
Because in one chart, we're looking at this, and they're saying, you know, whole grains are great. And we were just talking about lectin. And another chart says white rice is highly processed. Stay away from that. And the diet that my dad's on, too, says no oil.
Right.
That's from Dr. Caldwell Esselstyn from the Cleveland Clinic. And I think all these doctors are on the right path, right?
Right.
So Dr. Caldwell Esselstyn helps people with heart disease.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have heart disease, stay away from the oil.
Right.
Stay away from the chicken. Stay away from the fish. If you don't have heart disease and maybe you have, I don't know, high blood pressure or diabetes, maybe you want to stay away from something else.
Right.
And I think that's where we come in and we kind of do all the guesswork for you.
Right. Right. We can
help you that way.
Right. You have to be able to gear it to your lifestyle. There's no one size fits all. because some people don't tolerate certain types of vegetables, and certain people
have allergies to certain things, nightshades, nuts.
Like, right, exactly. There's the FODMAP diet, and which for autoimmune disease, there's so many different diets that you can follow. But in general, if you, the reason we did this podcast is that most of your food needs to come from whole food, plant-based sources. And then you could add the other stuff, whether you want to add some oils, and you should definitely eat nuts and things like that, avocados, healthy fats, and some meat, and the meat needs to be grass-fed meat, you know, grass-fed, grass-finished, and you need to be eating some sort of fish product for your omega-3s and your omega-3-to-6 ratio in your brain for brain health. And then you need to be eating some resistant starches to feed your microbiome. So those are the basics of what you should be doing. These carnivore diets where you're eating mostly meat and high fat and processed meats like bacon, they're just not healthy for you, folks. So
bacon's a carcinogen.
Right.
It's been labeled as a carcinogen. That's crazy.
Yes.
A carcinogen.
It's highly processed. Yeah. It's just not good for you. Now, should you never eat it? Like, if you want to splurge, listen, once you get your gut back into shape, you can eat these foods. But
as
if
a
you
treat.
Want, right, as a treat. And you'll see how you feel. Right. You're going to see how you feel. You know, if you've been doing this for a couple of weeks, 2-3 weeks, you're going to notice that your cravings will change. I actually crave vegetables now more than I crave sweets. It's incredible. It's because my microbiome is evolving changing.
We just have so many things environmentally that I think deteriorate our microbiome. You know, it's not just think about this, right? Think about this for 1 second. If you've ever been on an antibiotic, almost everyone has.
Right.
You don't eat organic. Maybe you live in an area that's highly polluted. Maybe your drinking water is not purified. These are all these combinations are, you know, just deteriorating our microbiome. And then what are you going to do to now, you know, change that or get rid of it? And what I mean by get rid of it is usually when you have antibiotic use, you have candida. So how are you going to change that? How are you going to kill that and then make, make the good bacteria grow? It's crazy, man. It gets confusing and it gets tough, but we keep the guesswork out of it.
Yeah, and there are supplements. We do treat candida and candida. We treat all types of bowel infections. But the best way is to start with diet. So in other words, if you starve it out, right, and you don't give the candida
life,
the food, if you don't give it the sugar, it's going to go away. And if you start feeding your body with the good stuff and the good bacteria starts to flourish, it's kind of push it out and get it out of the way. So, and then you can blast it when it's in its weakened state, and that's the better strategy. And if you start taking good probiotics or good yeast like Saccharomyces boulardii, you're going to get your bowel back into normal shape and you're going to be feeling so much better. So that's our podcast. If you have any questions or comments, reach out to us. We have a website now that's up and active, www.holisticbodycenters.com. And
you can
centers with an S. And you can see the link to our podcast. We're on Spotify. We're on Google Play now also. And if you like our podcast, subscribe, share it with your friends. And we'll be talking to you real soon. Again, thanks for joining us. And Rob, have a great rest of your day.
Yeah, happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day, everyone.
Take care.